Our scripture for this evening you can find in the prophet Amos. We don't often turn to Amos, but it follows the sequence of Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and we come to Amos. We hear from chapter 5 tonight, verses 1 through 17. Maybe it's helpful to know as we begin that as Amos begins his prophecy, he's delivering judgment against the nations. He starts with the enemies of Israel, and in a sense he's coming forward closer and closer to Israel, comes to Judah, but doesn't stop, and he delivers judgment against Israel as well. That's through chapters 1 and 2. And then chapters 3 and 4 is his warnings, very particular warnings to Israel. We come to hear chapter 5 tonight. 1 through 17, Amos 5. Hear ye this word, which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by a thousand shall leave an hundred, and that which went forth by an hundred shall leave ten to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live. Lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name, that strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. For as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe. They turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. And they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. May God bless that reading of his word. Beloved congregation, as we express many times, and as I trust we all realize, We've been blessed. We've been blessed to be able to gather in peace. We've been blessed to gather here tonight in a warm building. We've been blessed with pastors and preaching. Been blessed with elders and catechism class, deacons, financial resources, and even reserves. Come twice a Sunday. We have service groups and Bible studies and choirs. We've been blessed. And we don't want to do anything to disrupt our busy and yet comfortable way of doing things. And yet I hope tonight that we hear a word that disrupts us, unsettles us, and turns us to the Lord. Our focus text is Amos 5, verse 4. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. We want to consider this under the theme, the lion roars, seek and live. We'll consider how this is a needed roar, it's an authoritative roar, it's a discriminating roar, and it's a hopeful roar. It's calling us as a church, as well as us as individuals, to reject all illusions, all spiritual illusions, and seek Him with all of our heart. It's a needed roar. Already in Amos's day, it needed to be heard. But that need hasn't stopped. As Amos was going to the people of Israel, he went forth, as it were, with this roar. He was carrying this message of this roar. Do you know a roar is intended to be loud? It's intended to get the attention of the audience. It's needed. Your attention is needed. It's needed for two reasons. Already in Amos' day, it was needed because it had to be heard over the success of life at home. Amos was a prophet during the time of Jeroboam II. Jeroboam II was one of the kings over the 10 tribes, and it was a relatively successful time. There was an abundance of wealth. The country was not at war. The leaders, powerful, strong, they knew what they needed to do. In Jeroboam II's time, the borders were secure. The country was strong. The land productive, the people content. They could rest. And in a sense, it's all the trappings of a successful life as we imagine it. But there was little relationship with God. The second reason it was a needed roar was because it wasn't just the people weren't just not having relationship with God. They were breaking the covenant. They were shattering the covenant. It was clear in earlier chapters, Amos comes and he says, you have despised God's way. You've hushed the prophets. You've stolen from the poor. Consider what we read in chapter 5, verse 7. You have turned judgment, justice, into wormwood. You've left off righteousness. You've tread upon the poor. God knows their transgressions and their sins. And they've afflicted the just. They've taken bribes. They've abused their taxes. They've turned justice upside down. They've become oppressive to those around them. And yet they think all is well. So chapter 5 begins with this lament, this lamentation. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She's forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. It's really a funeral song for a country that thinks everything's going well. They're going through popular events. They're stable. And yet their religion is empty. It's dead. And the funeral song is right here. Destruction's coming. And that's Amos' message to the people of Israel. The destruction that's coming is so real that this funeral song is already written. Here's the lamentation. And yet it's in this backdrop that he comes with this roar. And I want you just to imagine for a moment a huge cemetery with a mournful tune of a military trumpet or a bagpipe playing for all those who've rejected God. The funeral song's very real. Everything that they thought was great is dead. It's been destroyed. And you can hear that trumpet tune in your mind. And yet it's over and against that that the roar comes in verse 4. For thus saith the Lord God unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. God is merciful, but he won't take him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And so this roar comes, and it's seek. You're hearing the funeral song. But will you hear the Lord's voice? In Amos, it's the Lord who's the lion roaring. If you turn to chapter 1, verse 2, it's the Lord who's roaring from Zion. It's a roar against the nations. It's a roar against Israel. In chapter 3, verse 8, it's the lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. But who can prophesy? That's the roar of warning. And we come to chapter 5 here then, and it's this needed roar that comes out in opposition to this funeral song. Seek me and live. Why will you die, O house of Israel? You know, on the African plains, you can capture a scene, and in a sense, it can be idyllic. Trees growing, rustling, the grasses flowing, the birds chattering, the monkeys playing. In a sense, it almost seems peaceful. Everything's good, stable. But then the lion roars. The statement's been made. It's a yes about territory or other lions, but that roar gets heard above all the other noises. You see, that roar travels for up to 5 miles, and all the other lions know they have to pay attention here. And Amos, as a shepherd herdsman, he knew what the roar of a lion meant. You see, the Lord comes through Amos tonight to us. And the message goes out. This has to come above all the other noises in your life. This is the message you need to pay attention to. Seek and live. Seek. We often think of seeking as the activity we do when we're looking for something that's lost. Right? I'm going to look here and I'm going to look here and I'm going to keep searching, seeking. But God's not telling the people to look for something that's lost. God's telling the people to seek Him. He's not lost. He's not far away from any one of us. He's revealed Himself right in the Word. You have it in your hands or in the pew in front of you. What is seeking then? Seeking is to inquire, to ask, to pray for direction from the Lord. It's to enter into to relationship and depend on His wisdom. And that's His roar to the people of Israel. Seek me, inquire of me, ask of me. Come back into communion, relationship, covenant with me, and you will live. It's a needed roar. But it wasn't just, it's not just the word of your pastor tonight. It's not even just Amos' word to the people of Israel. He was just a shepherd, herdsman, farmer. And people living in Jerusalem thinking everything's going okay, why would they listen to him? He comes. Simple message, simple illustrations, his language. Simple. But the roar is an authoritative roar because it doesn't come just from Amos or just from your pastor. You go back to the text, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me and ye shall live. Thus saith the Lord, seek and live. Children, you know lions assert their authority by roaring. This is my territory. This is my pride, my family. But God has authority. He is authority. He doesn't roar to establish authority. He roars because He is the authority. And his authority comes because of His creative authority. Amos records this in verse 8. Uses this as an argument to establish why the people should seek. Seek Him that made the seven stars and Orion and turns the shadow of death into the morning and makes the day dark with night, that calls for the water of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. In other words, He made the constellations. He made the sunrise. He made the sunset. He made the oceans. He made the tides. There's no one more powerful than Him. Will you hear His roar? Will you seek Him? His authority also comes from who He is. The end of verse 8. The Lord is His name. This is the covenant Lord. This is who's calling out to you to seek Him. The people knew. Called in Genesis, delivered through the Exodus, covenanted with in Deuteronomy. Isaiah would record God's word, I've not spoken in secret or in a dark place of the earth. I've not said to Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. You see, His roar is true. He's not leading you on. His authority also is covenantal authority. You go back to the passages we read last week from Deuteronomy, and that covenant theme comes through so clear. And that His authority has been established over the people from that time, before that time, but it's clear to them from that time, if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him if thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. You see, they've left, they've forgotten the punishment was coming, and the roar comes then to remind them of the covenant. Seek me and live. Remember what I've promised you. Israel, we must not think that we are the authority over our own lives. We are not kings. Must respond to the King. And in that sense, we don't just know this truth. We must know the urgency to respond to it. We must confess, yes, Lord, this roar, this command that comes to me is over all the others. Seek me, and ye shall live. Don't cover your ears here. You can't oversing this roar. You can't focus on other songs, other religious songs, patriotic songs, songs that fill your head. You must hear this message, as it were, roaring over top of all of that. Seek me. Seek me. This is the God who made you. This is the God who's preserved you. Will you hear him? He's the one who's given you family. He's the one who's brought you here. He's the one who's placed you in a time and in a place where you have his word. Will you seek him? He's roaring at you tonight. Seek me and live. And this roar is not intended so that you run away. This roar doesn't come so that you'd flee in the opposite direction. But this roar comes so that you would turn to him, so that you would see, hear, obey, follow him, and realize that seeking him is having a relationship with him. Isaiah tells the people, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy. The message or the warning of Amos is all false religion, all unrighteousness leads to death. And that death is coming, and it's brought about a funeral song that's already being played. Will you hear the roar? It's the authoritative roar of God that says, this is real, this is true religion. But it's a safe roar. Seek, inquire, ask. Knock, come. And notice the roar is not just demanding more external actions. It's a discerning roar. If you go back to our text, thus saith the Lord, seek ye me and live. The call is that the people would seek God, their creator, the King, the covenant Lord. Do you take this in the context of everything Amos is saying? And in his book, the people aren't called to seek comfort. They're not called to seek more stability. They're not called to seek power to make the kingdom longer. They're not called to seek middle class values even. They're not called to seek a religion or a church or a place. They're called to seek God. Why? Because repentance is turning to God. Nothing else. Repentance is not turning to tradition. Repentance is turning to God. And your repentance, your seeking, must be with your whole heart, wholehearted turning, wholehearted living, wholeheartedly doing His will. And you can't do it with a double mind. It needs to be complete. There's at least three discriminating aspects in this chapter that help us understand what God meant here. The first discriminating aspect is between true and formal seeking. Look at our text and read into verse 5. Thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, nor pass not to Beersheba. It's interesting to note how positive these cities used to be in the Old Testament. Bethel was where Abraham called on God. It's where Jacob received his revelation. Samuel visited there. Elijah visited. The prophet stationed there. Gilgal was near Jericho, and it's the place where Israel established its first camp on the other side of Jordan. It's part of the promised land. Beersheba, a place of wells and refreshment, became known as the border. Positive places. But now, Bethel had become the location of the golden calf. Gilgal was a place of sorrow and grief. Beersheba was a place of pilgrimage, but the people were said, don't go there. You can't even travel towards them. Bethel and Gilgal are going to be places of destruction. They're going to be destroyed. Your hope is not to make sure that these cities keep safe. Your hope is not to make sure that they're not going to be destroyed. The funeral song is already written. What will you seek me and live? You see, wanting to return to Bethel because it was a blessed place in the past at one point would display a false seeking. Seeking a symbol of the past, seeking a symbol of what had been a blessing to somebody else, seeking a symbol of what everybody else was doing. God says, seek ye me and seek not Bethel. The second discriminating aspect is between life and destruction. Continue to verse 6. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. It's a warning, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph. The house of Joseph is likely because Bethel and Gilgal were two towns within the lands of Ephraim and Manasseh. The house of Joseph. But it's still a geographical image in a sense. It's an image that represents the whole of the 10 tribes. But these 10 tribes are going to experience the judgment fire that can't be stopped. It can't be extinguished. Your only hope is to seek the Lord and you shall live. That might sound presumptuous. Choose life. But remember whose authoritative word it is. Remember what we read last week. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. That both you and your descendants may live. The third discriminating aspect is between good and evil. Go down to verse 14 and 15. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment or justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. You see, the people hated God's righteousness. They hated God's righteousness in the gate, in the public sphere. They were promoting themselves. And the condemnation comes. You've afflicted the just. You've turned aside from the poor. You've abused trials. You've mislaid justice. Matthew Henry says, you've been guilty of making the poor poorer. And how does this last discriminatory aspect relate to the other two? Because it seems as if this social justice, if you will, might be separate from seeking God. But keeping God's laws is the evidence of seeking Him. What does Jesus say in Matthew 6? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the people weren't. And so the roar comes. Your land is dying. The funeral song's written. But will you seek me? You know, at the national level, there's Christians who love God and leave issues of justice and mercy to others. And at the same time, there's liberals who love picking up on these issues of justice and mercy and say, well, we don't need God. The Christians can seek their God. You see, today's society, in a sense, has ripped these two things apart. But the challenge in this verse is the roar against the people of Israel is that they were called to love the Lord their God, and they were called to love their neighbor, and they had done neither. They weren't loving God and they weren't loving their neighbor. And at the church level, you take these three discriminating aspects. And we need to ask ourselves, what are we seeking for? Are we seeking for God? Or are we seeking a place? A Bethel, if you will. Are we seeking life? Are we seeking destruction? Are we seeking good? Or are we seeking evil? None of us would like to say, I'm picking a place or picking destruction or picking evil. We'd like to say we were picking God, choosing God and choosing life and choosing good. But you see, apart from Christ, and if you are still apart from Christ, you've picked false religion. You've picked the destruction. You're choosing evil. And the roar tonight takes away all the excuses and it takes away all the externals and it brings us straight back to the covenant obligation. Are you seeking to love God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength? And are you seeking to love your neighbor? God sees what we're seeking and He sees how we're seeking it. But we need to be honest with ourselves. Are we devoted to this place? Or are we devoted to seeking God? Are we content with our Sabbath routine? Are going up to Bethel, going back home, making pilgrimage to Beersheba, as it were, thinking that's enough to save us? Are we so satisfied with our own status quo that we're afraid to ask the question, am I seeking God as I ought? What would we really look like as a church if we all loved God with all of our heart? And if we all loved our neighbors with all of our heart? Don't you think it would be a little bit different? The lion's roar is from God tonight to seek Him, and you shall live. But you can't live if you're not going to seek Him. You can't live if you've turned your back on Him. You can't live if you've covered your ears and ran the other way. You need to seek Him, and you shall live. Is that your prayer? If you met a lion in the plains of Africa, his roar is really a warning. But here we have a roar. That brings us hope. The promise is, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Verse 6, seek the Lord, and ye shall live. Verse 14, 15, seek good and evil. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious. You see, it's not just an easy, a false hope. It's a real promise. And it comes at the same time as the warning. To reject the promise is to ignore at your own peril. Because the promise is from the covenant Lord, seek ye me. Seek the covenant Lord and ye shall live. It's a promise of covenant relationship, renewed relationship that will endure until the inheritance is granted. Deuteronomy 30, I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, that thou mayest live and multiply. You see, the way for the church to prosper today is not to seek power or force decisions or demand policy changes. The way for the church to prosper today is that the church would seek the Lord. That will bring vitality. That will bring life. You can't force life through policy change. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You see, that's not just a call to vote. That's a call to faith. It's a call to seek. It's a promise of covenant relationship. But this text is also a promise of of life that comes through spiritual change, a change that can occur only after we seek God, after we inquire after God, after we desire God, after we love Him and our neighbors. You see, it's a fulfillment of God's promise to the exiles through Jeremiah. Later, ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you. Then you will know spiritual life. You will know spiritual vitality. You'll have the zeal, the energy that you wish for, you pray for. You see, even if we struggle with the spiritual state of the church, this too is the answer. If we want greater blessing, something has to change. But it's not external things. We must seek the Lord with our hearts, all of our hearts. And yet, if you think about it, think about yourself. If I think about myself, you realize again the impossibility of loving the Lord your God with all of your being. And the impossibility of loving our neighbors as we should. Because this heart inside is not perfect. On the contrary. John realized that in Revelation. He says, there was no man in heaven or on earth who was worthy to open and read the book. Every man, every person here tonight, stained with sin, guilty. By our own actions, by our own hearts, condemned. And no one of us can reveal God's mercy and bring salvation. And John says, I wept. I wept much. And one of the elders said to me, weep not. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He's prevailed to open the book. He's the pure, the innocent one. He's the perfect one. He's accomplished salvation. And the four beasts and the 20 elders fell down and they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to open the book, to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. And you see, it's that Lion of the tribe of Judah who's still roaring. Seek me and you shall live. It's my blood that's been purchased, that has purchased, so that you can live. Your only hope is in the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Will you hear him? Will you hear his roar above all the other noise in your life? But will you hear him? You see, it's written, sense to the covenant community. And yet it's not just to be applied to us as a church. There's also personal applications. I want to close tonight with five short personal applications. First, this passage presents to you and I, the challenge. What are you seeking? What are you seeking? Are you seeking great things for yourself? Seek them not, for behold, God will bring disaster. if you're seeking God, are you seeking the right way? Not, as we confessed in the Canons of Dort, not trying to make myself better here. Not seeking, begging God to come out of hiding. But seeking by inquiring of Him and submitting myself to His Word. The challenge is, am I seeking Him? Or am I ignoring Him? Because secondly, this passage brings a warning. Whose roar are you listening to? There's a lot of static in the airwaves these days. It's enough to distract anybody. Are you listening to that roar? That angst? There's also Satan, who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking to devour whom he will. He just wants to distract and scare you away from life. But if you want to live, you must hear the roar of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who says tonight, "Seek me, and ye shall live." And it brings us, thirdly, to self-examination then, doesn't it? Have I heard the lion's roar against the sins in my own life? Have I tried to cover my ears so I don't have to pay attention to what he's calling me to? Have I tried to rationalize my actions, doing opposite? Have I deluded myself thinking I can sleep through the lion's roaring? Don't think that you can escape. He roars against all of your selfishness. Our selfishness against him, but also against our neighbors. What does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. We seek Him. We shall live. And that's why, fourthly, this passage also can bring us to a place of strengthening, because He promises, those who seek me will find me. Those that come must believe God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There's no other way but to trust and obey. And when you hear His voice and respond in faith, it will bring you strength and joy, and you will live. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Then finally, this passage brings us hope. Because when the lion roars, "Seek me, and you shall live," it declares to us very plainly that life is possible. Spiritual life is possible. Spiritual vitality is possible. A vibrant church is possible. And this happens when we seek Him. When Jesus and His righteousness are the object of our seeking. When we put aside other things and we turn off all the other noise, and Jesus becomes the desire of our seeking. And then He is the source of life, but He's the joy of life, and He's the strength of life, and He's what motivates us to go on, and He's what enables us to go on. And you see, when we seek Him and find Him and are blessed in Him, then we are living. Only then are we living? And so my question to you tonight is, are you living? Are you alive? Have you sought Him and found Him? Hear His roar. Seek ye Me, and ye shall live. Amen. Lord, open our ears that we would hear. Open our minds that we would understand. Open our hearts that we would believe. Encourage those who are seeking, Lord, that they would find Thee. Know what it is to inquire of Thee all of their days. Admonish those who have been sliding backwards. Encourage Thy people. Convict the rebellious. And teach us as a church to seek Thee first and live. Pray again that Thou would go with us through this week. Bless the church planting training session as well on Thursday. And please, Lord, allow us to gather around Thy word again. We pray this asking for the forgiveness of our sins, worship today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.